I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As you have just heard, today's gospel reading began with some Pharisees warning Jesus that Herod is wanting to kill him. Just to be clear, before we go any further, that's not Herod the Great that we think of at the time of Jesus' birth, the paranoid megalomaniac who ordered the massacre of the innocents, but it's one of his many sons. After his death, the kingdom was divided up and each of his sons had a particular area. So now we're thinking of Herod Antipas, who ruled over the territory to the north where Jesus presently was. What we don't know is whether these Pharisees who were warning Jesus were genuinely sympathetic to Jesus and wanting to, as it were, tip him off that Herod was after him, or whether they were actually Herod's agents seeking to frighten Jesus away from that area, thinking he was a troublemaker. Whatever their motivation, Jesus' response was uncompromising, as we heard, referring to Herod as that fox and saying in response, "I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work." Well, we know with hindsight a reference prophetically, though no one will have discerned it at the time, a reference to his 3 days in the tomb and the resurrection. On the third day, he would finish his work. Well, we've no knowing whether or not that message was relayed back to Herod, but if it was, I guess he would have probably thought Jesus was saying, well, I'm going to carry on doing as I please for now, but then I'll be moving on in 3 days' time. So no need to worry about me, I'll be off your patch, as it were. Here and in his saying, as we heard, it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem, we touch on the theme of Jesus sensing at least something of his own destiny, even at this early stage, aware that his fate lies in that great city of Jerusalem, the city where King David, his forebear of some 1,000 years, as shepherd king, was crowned, where his son, King Solomon, built the temple, housing the Ark of the Covenant in the holiest, the Holy of Holies, a symbol of God's presence with his people. And even more so, some 500 years after that, after the exile, the Israelites being exiled into Babylon and then returning, rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed, rededicating it, the temple became supremely revered as the home of God on earth, a place of great pilgrimage and significance. The significance of Jerusalem cannot be overstated, and it is here in Jerusalem that Jesus sees the fulfillment of his calling and his destiny. Yet the darker side of Jerusalem's story reveals a people who had forgotten that their special relationship with God was not unconditional, who had forgotten that their responsibility was to show the world how life should be lived in the holiest of places. And when God's messengers, generations before Jesus, point out the error of their ways, the likes of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Micah, they were ignored and persecuted. Hence those words of Jerusalem, Jesus, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." And yet, there is still the dream of a new Jerusalem, a place that is truly, gloriously heavenly. We'll sing about it in our final hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, a place where God is truly to be encountered. Jesus knows all of this, and he weeps over the city because of what it is, in contrast to what it should be. And this is where he is heading in the course of his ministry, to confront the ruling powers who have got things so disastrously wrong, resulting not in freedom, but in oppression. Jesus' ministry, whatever it entails, is to bring release and joy. He will force access to God's temple for all, overthrowing, as we know, the money changers' tables. The veil of the temple on that darkest of days of Good Friday will be rent, opening up the holiest of holies to all people. That veil will be torn asunder. The yoke that has so long burdened God's people will be lifted. And to make this release a reality, the price, as we know, will be his death. And Jesus knows it, or at least senses something very strongly about it. For a people who have so flagrantly rejected God and abused their privileged position, Jesus will shortly, a few chapters on in Luke's Gospel from the one we read this morning, in chapter 19, he will weep bitter tears for Jerusalem as he beholds the city that he is about to enter then again. He weeps not for himself or his fate even, but for Jerusalem, the city that is not living up to what it should be. That great lament, as we heard in the reading, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. The hen image possibly reminding us of the outstretched wings that were mounted on the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, symbolizing God's sheltering presence among his people. Now I'd like you to take a look at the cards that I've given you all, and you're very welcome to take these cards home. On the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem, where Jesus would have walked, overlooking the city, is this most beautiful tear-shaped church known as Dominus Flavit, which is simply Latin for the Lord wept. As you sit in that church, you look out of the window above the altar, and in the distance is the city of Jerusalem. So on the left-hand side of the picture, you can see the church. In fact, you can see the window that you would be looking out of if you were sitting in the church. The photographer in these pictures has used a bit of license because the buildings that you see in the foreground, the Golden Dome, is a good half a mile away from the church where you're sitting. I think they brought it closer into focus so you can see the detail. In between the church and the city of Jerusalem is the Kidron Valley, so a deep ravine between the two. So the Golden Dome is about half a mile away, to give you some idea. As you sit in the church and look out, beneath the altar in front of you, and you can just see the top of the altar by the window, if the photo was extended down, you would see in the middle, but it's enlarged there for you, this mosaic depicting that poignant verse of lament. The hen and her brood, as they should be, safely sheltering. As Jesus laments, they are not safely sheltering under God's protection. So in the foreground, you see the golden dome of the rock. That marks pretty much the site of the former temple. And in the far distance, just above the central bar of the cross on the altar, and the church was deliberately built like this, so that when you sit in the church, you look out not just over the site of the old temple, but at the point at the top of the cross, you can just discern two domes. Can you see those? Two domes. They are, again, about another half a mile on from the what is now mausoleum, the Golden Dome of the Rock. Another half a mile on, you can see in the distance, above the tip of the cross, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and the Church of the Resurrection. One and the same church, built on the same site, covering the places, the two places, where Jesus, of Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified, and the tomb of the resurrection, all in the footprint of the same vast church. Obviously, before the church was built, they were apart from one another. So there in the distance, and that church, Dominus Flavit, deliberately built, so you look out onto the above the cross, to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and Resurrection, celebrating new life and hope born out of conflict and failure. And as you sit there in the church, or with the card in front of you, in your mind's eye, you may ponder how stark the contrast between Jesus, who fulfills his destiny and fulfills it in Jerusalem, and the people of Jerusalem who do not fulfill their destiny, or at least those in power do not. And the place which still today sadly remains a place of enmity and division, and not a place of peace, which is quite the opposite of its name, Jerusalem, which means city of peace. Salem, as in salam, the greeting in Arabic for peace be with you, or in Hebrew, shalom, peace be with you. Jerusalem, 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 city of peace, but far from a city of peace. Notwithstanding all the turmoil in Jerusalem, and elsewhere throughout the world, so much on our minds at present. Perhaps also the turmoil we may feel within ourselves or within those we know or in our day-to-day situations. Let us hold on to the promise of hope and new life we have in Jesus Christ. However much, just as our forebears, we fall short. Hold on to where the cross is pointing to, Church of Resurrection and New Life. Lent, as we know, is a time to reflect on how we are with God, and also to remember that even though we fall short, as Jerusalem did, God's love prevails in the past, in the present, in the future. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So may we never lose sight of the dream that will one day find its fulfillment. It may not be an earthly Jerusalem, but as promised, a new Jerusalem, where God is fully to be encountered, and where our joy in him, in Jesus Christ, is complete. So this Lent, let us, with Jesus, fulfill our destiny and not run from it or rebel. Let us be gathered under the wings of his protection. And let us pray that he may not be weeping over our resisting his calling.